present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Sheila Hancock, and William Rushton in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello. Welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists if they can talk for 60 seconds on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is on the card in front of me. And we're going to begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, would you try and talk on the subject of pleasure? For 60 seconds, starting now.
One thinks of the lines, come live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove. And then in that delightful poem, he lists things like valleys, fields and dales, and what he calls steepy mountains. But I very much doubt whether gentlemen on the Matterhorn or Everest come to that would be thinking in terms of pleasure. Probably they'd be much more grateful, instead of a poem, for a box of tissues, because the nose, as you know, does run in extremely cold temperatures. Pleasure could be defined as hedonism, or, as the Greeks would have it, Epicureanism, defining as a way of life the pleasure principle being virtuous because it's supposed to be a feeling that's engendered in us of community, of civility, of caring about our fellow human being. And what better? What better creed? I had to say that twice. Did you, Buzz?
No, Sheila Hancock.
Oh, what a nerve. Never have had women on this show. Right down, lower the tone, you know.
Well, you kept going for 55 seconds.
That's what she's coming in on and asking it for.
Yes, I know.
It's an absolute trick, isn't
you,
it?
You.
Yeah, they all agree.
Well, actually, you repeat.
They're on to you, girl. Don't you worry yourself.
Kenneth. You kept going magnificently. We enjoyed it all. They were quite generous to you. And Sheila came in when you read that very definite repetition.
Oh, go on. Let her at it.
So she gets a point for it.
What wonderful pyrotechnics she is going to read.
Sheila, you have 5 seconds. You've got a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of pleasure. 5 seconds to go, starting now.
My idea of pleasure.
And Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Hesitation.
Shut up.
Oh,
Sheila Hancock has another point for a wrong challenge.
Good.
Keeps the subject pleasure. 3 seconds, starting now.
Is to lie in the...
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity of saying good evening. And also, I would like to welcome William Rushton, who also hasn't spoken. And I'd like everyone to know this is not just a two-handed show.
I would like to know the name of Kenneth Williams, chemist. I want something to sustain me.
Sheila Hancock has 2 seconds to talk on pleasure, starting now.
The sun shining on my face.
Well, the whistle that Ian Messiter blows for us tells us that 60 seconds is up, and who's ever speaking at that particular moment gets an extra point. And on this occasion it was Sheila Hancock, and at the end of the round she's the only one to have any points.
No.
She has a commanding lead. Peter Jones, we're going to hear from you now. Would you talk on the subject of weekends for 60 seconds, starting now?
They have rather a period flavour to me. I think of the 20s and weekends in Brighton at the Metropole and on the river at Henley and Maidenhead. And in Paris, I think of them. And
Sheila Hancock was charged.
Well, he has thought of them twice, yes. And he did hesitate at the thought, as well he might.
He was thinking so hard about them, he had to repeat it. So, Sheila, you've got another correct challenge, and there are 44 seconds for you to talk on the subject of weekends, starting now.
Well, my hair has got very weekends that are inclined to split. And when this happens, I suggest that you rub in a bit of lanolin and let it soak, and perhaps olive oil is very helpful, and then you shampoo it off, and your
Peter
ends
Jones
will be...
challenged.
Well, she's not talking about weekends, but how to cure weekends, which is quite a different thing, as well as advertising.
She's talking about how to
forbidden.
Shampoo her hair, which is deviation from the subject of weekends.
Right.
I agree with your challenge, Peter. You have a point, and you have 28 seconds starting now.
Well, I think they are due for a comeback. Not so many people can afford to go away.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation. Weekends can't come back. They're here perpetually.
I think that the type of weekend that Peter was referring to...
I don't know how he gets these jobs. I really... That should shut me up. He's a complete idiot, isn't he? There you are. They're all clapping. They all realize what a nitch you are.
Kenneth, I don't...
Kenneth! You are going
He's
to
talking,
be...
talking, not me.
I don't want it.
You are actually going to be awarded the subject, but I have to...
I don't want it now. Thank you very much for your rudeness.
You have done all the insulting and all the rudeness, and in the end, I'll put you in the corner. I was about to say, I think I knew what Peter was referring to, but yours was a legitimate challenge, because weekends are here. They're always with us. It's a good challenge. I give you a point for it. Now, try and be a good boy. Take the subject. Have 24 seconds, starting now.
I am ill-equipped to deal with this because the motion is really one of leisure and it's something I know precious little about.
Peter Jones, a chance.
If he knows little about it, let me have the subject back and I'll tell you.
So as he was on the subject of leisure and not weekends, he was deviating. Peter, you got the subject back. You have 16 seconds starting now.
I'm trying to visualize a series of weekends, in all about 52, which I shall begin in January of next year. And the very first one will be in, of all places, Ilfracombe, because I happen to know someone there who's going...
And everybody in Ilfracombe is now agog to know who Peter's going to start off his 52 with. But he got a point for speaking when the whistle went, and he's into second place behind Sheila Hancock and Kenneth... Willie Rushton. It's your turn to begin.
Hello.
Hello. Willie, would you talk on the subject of mumbling?
Mumbling.
You've given us a little bit of it, but now can you talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Mumbling comes easily to me, as I can mumble into my beard. In the Oxford Dictionary, it is described as a verb to mumble, to make a noise of this nature. In the Macmillan Concise, it is... In the Penguin Pocket, it's a sort of... It comes from our own profession, the acting profession. We were known as mummers, and in those days, purely mimed. As the profession grew, slowly began to make...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of profession.
Peter, you have a correct challenge, a point, and the subject, and 30 seconds on mumbling starting now.
Mumbling was head gardener on the Duke of Portland's estate between the years 1906 and 1918. He was a very elderly man, even when he took on the post, and he specialized in growing vegetables, parsnips and other things like carrots and so on. And he was a rather tattered kind of figure, even in the early days, with his trousers dangling over the gardening boots which he wore perpetually. And
Sheila... Sheila challenged just before the whistle.
Well, I was just about to interrupt him for deviation, because if his trousers were dangling over his boots, it must have been a pretty... Devious sight.
Yes. That's why he got the sack in 1918.
I think, to be fair, Sheila, he wasn't deviating from the subject on the card, though he probably would find out the whole thing was devious because he never existed. So there's half a second, Peter, on mumbling starting now.
And, sir, that's really right.
So Peter has now taken the lead at the end of that round. He's one ahead of Sheila Hancock, and he's... five ahead of Kenneth Williams and William Rushton. And Sheila, it's your turn to begin. The subject is holiday snaps. Would you talk on those for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
Holiday snaps used to be a source of great pleasure to me, although actually I didn't have all that many holidays when I was a little girl, as it was during the war and we didn't get away a great deal. But it's all been ruined lately because my husband has acquired something called a sound telly camera, which means that you have to spend your whole time doing terrible antics and saying witty things. Otherwise, the whole holiday is ruined because he's in a bad temper, because we haven't performed sufficiently for him to provide a suitable show to show all his friends.
And Kenneth Williams,
chap. Did I play two shows there, wasn't
there? Yes, there was.
That's
yes.
Right. I thought I was correct.
But you challenge in such a civilized way, Kenneth. You feeling all right? Right, well, you have the subject, Kenneth. Another point. Holiday snaps. 26 seconds left, starting now.
These can provide a delightful memento of those halcyon periods in one's life when one never has to bother about reporting for work, but lies indolently sipping the eau de vie or the bean...
William Rushton has challenged.
I just wouldn't like to see a photograph of this going on. I fear he is wandering off the subject in no uncertain manner. His mind has bent, finally and irrevocably.
Well, he did. And he said he couldn't have any weekends even earlier on.
I know.
So what actually, William, is your challenge?
Pathetic life he leads. What?
What is your actual challenge?
I'm not absolutely certain, but suffice to say, it's a strong, powerful one, and I feel I'm supported by almost all the same.
You think he's deviated from the subject of holiday snaps?
Mainly on grounds of taste, I think.
I think, Willie, that he's deviated to some extent from the subject of holiday snaps and getting on to describing a subject. So there are 8 seconds left for you to talk on the subject, starting now.
One of the most beautiful holiday snaps taken on me was mounting on a donkey somewhere near Ilfracombe on the beach, where I was pounding like a demented stoat towards the pier.
Well, William Rushton was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained that extra point, and now he is equal in third place with Kenneth Williams behind Sheila Hancock and Peter Jones. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject now is promises. Can you tell us something about those in 60 seconds, starting now?
There was a notable argument between Argentine and Chile, and they asked Victoria, our queen, to settle it for them, and she wrote and promised to do so. That incredible old lady who ruled, as you know, for 60 years, and saw one of the most prosperous periods.
Sheila Hancock.
I don't honestly think he's talking about promises. He's talking about Queen Victoria.
Family, her reign was full of promises. Kenneth, you keep the subject, and there are 34 seconds left, starting now.
And the aforementioned empress, when her daughter was to be married, was begged by that poor creature that it should not take place in Berlin. And that gracious lady said, "Don't you worry, I promise you it will be in the Chapel Royal window, where, of course, the nuptials were celebrated." True to her promise, which that lady kept all her life. Oh,
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of lady.
Yeah, you did bring in the lady more than once.
Well, she was a great lady. It's worth saying.
5 seconds are left, Peter, starting now.
My grandmother used to make a lot of promises, and she always added the words, "all being well." So there was a get-out if... saving grace. Yeah, well, it was an excuse if she didn't keep it, you see. But all didn't go well, and so I had to change the arrangements, you know.
Yes, well, we don't want a biography, dear. I mean, there's nothing going on.
Now, I don't want people to think you're a bad loser, Kenneth.
Oh, I don't think anyone would think that.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean...
Peter Jones has taken the lead at the end of that round again. Well, he's increased his lead because he was leading Sheila Hancock before. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin again, and the subject now is breakages. Can you talk about breakages for just a minute, starting now?
Yes, I have a friend...
Kenneth Williams, a chap.
Hesitation.
Rubbish.
There was a hesitation, actually, but it was only 1.5 seconds, so I don't think it's really fair at the beginning. We do let people get underway, Kenneth. So we won't allow that one, and Peter continues with breakages, starting now.
I have a friend who worked for a millionaire.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Repetition, yes, I have a
friend. Oh, brilliant! Oh, brilliant!
Not fair! Not fair!
That's what you call ganging up, actually. He's in the lead, so the two of them are ganged up. Right. But Sheila's got the...
Obviously, subject. A plot. They worked this out carefully before.
Rotten.
I saw you together at the tea bar.
So,
I apologize.
But Sheila, you've got in, and there are 56 and a half seconds on breakages starting now.
Well, this is something I'm pretty good at, but not as excellent as a friend of mine.
James Williams.
I'm afraid of just definite hesitation, I'm afraid.
I make the decisions, you can make the challenges. your challenge and hesitation, I agree with you, Kenneth, and you have...
What a happy coincidence.
There are 52 and a half seconds on breakages, Kenneth, starting now.
The last time this occurred was when my mama broke a very fine piece of Royal Worcester, and it fell to my lot to secure its repair by an old gentleman who lived off Handel Street, whereupon the broken handle was welded, as the term goes, back to the vessel which contains the liquid. So, you see, I have very carefully, in describing that, not again referred to the name of that particular carrier of tea or coffee as...
Sheila's challenged.
Well, that is deviation.
Yes, he's now onto the... No, you are deviating.
You great fool!
I know!
Oh, well, give it to her. I'll take no more time.
There we are. There are 12 and a half seconds on breakages, Sheila, starting now.
A mate of mine had brought a new dish.
Hesitation.
Yes, Peter.
Oh, you did give it, Sheila. It wasn't clear. You
were you were...
Hey, shut up and don't protest.
Now.
He's a good chairman. He's a very good chairman.
I tried to keep the balance, and you were unfair to Peter before, so now that redresses
you're
the balance.
You're so far away. You
shut up. We shouldn't have women on the show anyway.
You said you let people get underway.
Underway?
Well, the
yes, but you practically slipped anchor.
With William Rush, and this is a stupid
it is,
game.
It is, it is.
I've got a very good story about breakages, and now you'll never hear it, and I'm
glad. Peter Jones might have a good one as well. He's got 11 seconds of which to tell us, starting now.
And this millionaire had a book with a list of every item.
Sheila Hancock.
Hesitation.
Yes, all right. Now I'm on your side. You think it's a good game, do you? So you've got a good hesitation there. Breakages is with you 8 seconds starting now.
This dishwasher, she put all her new crockery in, and there was a big dinner party.
Peter Jones.
Who did? We don't know anything about this.
I've been trying to tell you. I've said my pal, I've said my mate. I couldn't say my friend if I repeated it all. So I had to go...
Yes, but we don't know anything about it. I mean,
well,
you haven't told the story properly.
If you shut your face, I'll tell you.
There are 3 seconds. Can you finish the story in 3 seconds, Sheila? Breakage is starting now.
And all her dishes were broken in this thing because they went round and round.
Well,
and that's the amusing anecdote.
Broke a few strong nerves and a... William Rushton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is what I can say in a minute.
No.
Can you tell us something on that subject in 60 seconds starting now?
What I can say in a minute is approximately twice what Clement Freud can say in a minute. As he speaks very slowly, and I've always spoken extremely quickly, which is one of the few things I have to my advantage. I could not talk for a minute on, say, nuclear fission. I could talk for about 10 seconds and then drop dead. Knowledge would flow from my brain would explode, my entire body would crumble. I couldn't at the same time talk for 45 minutes, 38 seconds on the joys of Mrs. Bradley's body. But then at the same time, you don't want to hear about that. The program is long enough. Hesitation.
Sheila Hancock, chap.
Do I get a point for buzzing myself?
You would have done. Been known to happen that someone challenged themselves and got a point for a good challenge. There are 32 seconds for you now with the subject, Sheila. What I can say in a minute starting now.
What I can say in a minute is absolutely anything because there isn't a definite subject in this instance. So I might give you a quick chorus of God Save the Queen or...
William Rushton.
That's a silly thing to say. What is that? What heading does that come under?
What I can say
give
in
me a
minute.
Heading.
Sheila,
I don't agree with you at all.
Has the subject still, and she's got another point, and there are 19 seconds, and she starts now.
I could give you a talk on animals, or sex, or William Rushton, dishwashers, Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams, Nicholas Parsons, the audience, London, the city, the tower, Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII, Women's Institute, how to make cakes.
Kenneth Williams, a child.
What's Henry VIII got to do with Women's Institute?
A great deal, I would have thought.
I should think that very much opposed to it.
So she didn't deviate.
But you're supposed to say the things you can talk about.
Which no, it
well,
was
I could
what
talk
I
about
can
the Women's Institute the and Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII. I'll give you a lecture on Henry VIII, if you like.
No, please don't. Please.
The rather unfortunate subject is what I can say in a minute. Sheila, you have 2 seconds on what I can say in a minute starting now.
I can say in a minute absolutely anything.
Sheila, you've increased your lead at the end of the round, and it's your turn to begin again. And the subject is learning another language. Would you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Learning another language is something that I am always making up my mind to do, and I have a cupboard full of those teach-yourself records, German, Spanish, French. I even have some that you're supposed to put by your bed and play while you're asleep, and you wake up in the morning and know it. But I'm here to tell you that that didn't work for me. I also considered going to that academy in London where you can learn a language in about 2 weeks. And in fact, I have a friend who did exactly that. Another language that I've had to learn lately is that of 11-year-old children, because they seem to have coined a whole lot of new words like grotty and soups and various other things which do need quite a lot of translating if you to understand your kilnta. Also, I have to...
Kenneth Williams has
chance. What was this word, kinta?
That was another language.
I see.
So you really haven't
a
got
word, but I think she simply made a mess of it.
Another word, soup, she said.
Kenneth has a correct challenge, I've discovered, and he has 13 seconds to talk about learning another language starting now.
This is always best done with the native of the country whose language you wish to
William Rushton has a challenge.
He did appear to fall over his words, whatever you call that.
You call that hesitation?
Hesitation,
yes,
you call
I
that.
Think so, yes.
It wasn't hesitation.
There are 5 seconds
slowing
for you.
Down, collapsible process.
5 seconds on learning another language, William, starting now.
I, for many years, struggled with Esperanto. If you go to a public house in Staffordshire, I think it is, the entire business of the public house is conducting Esperanto. You know that.
Well, William Rushton was then speaking when the whistle went. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, Marco Polo. Would you tell us something about him in 60 seconds starting now?
Well, only that he was in the 13th century and left for Venice with his dad to go overland by way of Bokhara to the court of the great Mughal Kublai Khan. And when he returned with a vast amount of precious stones and various items of jewelry, he obviously made a bomb and became very, very successful. I shouldn't have said that twice, but nobody's bothered to challenge me.
You shouldn't have drawn attention to it. You might have got away with it. Sheila Hancock got in first.
I don't even know what he said twice because I'd gone into a trance. But
presumably...
Harder than
that. All right.
So,
what
is your challenge?
Repetition of whatever he said twice.
And as you don't know what he said twice, so Kenneth keeps the subject, and he has 29 seconds on Marco Polo starting now.
And while he was in prison by the Genoese, apropos the Venetian War, he wrote his famous book, which has been handed down to us in many different editions, and Polo today is the famous name. Not to be confused with that game, which is played by the Duke of Edinburgh, because that comes, though, all also from the east via Calcutta, so mustn't be confused with the Italian
religion. Peter Jones has challenged you.
Repetition of confused.
Yes, you got confused. You repeated yourself with only 4 seconds to go, and Peter's gone in again. And the subject's Marco Polo, Peter, and you start now.
He brought pasta back from China and invented...
Disgraceful, isn't it?
What?
What's well, I've been just waiting till the last 5 minutes or something like that.
Very
it's been so obvious. It's happened to me all the time.
It takes a lot of guts sit here and listen to you ranting on for a whole minute. You know,
so
it's not
Peter,
too easy.
You're going to rant a bit now because we're back with you to start, and the subject's my favourite aunt. 60 seconds starting now.
Oh, she was a lovely old lady with grey hair and two buns, one on either side of her forehead, and a very wet kiss she had, I remember vividly. And in her 67th year, she met her childhood sweetheart in a butcher's shop in Wolverhampton. This is absolutely true. And he deserted her when she was very young, gone away, married somebody else. They died, came back from having been round the world on a sailing ship, and they joined together forces, married, and lived happily ever after, which, of course, wasn't a terribly long time. But it was hilarious. The wedding, this old man, he was a porter on the Great Western Railway at Wolverhampton, and she was working in the shop where they sold the meat, as I told you before.
Sheila Hancock is...
She did mention the shop before.
Yes.
Yes, I know, but I said where they sell the meat. I didn't say butcher's shop, is it?
You did. You mentioned the word shop twice.
Oh, well, that, for God's sake, is going to get those...
Sheila, you have the subject, and it is my favourite aunt, and there are 12 seconds left starting now.
I have a very dear aunt called Auntie Ruby, who introduced me to many good things in life, especially sausages and chips at Lion's Corner House when I was a little girl.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
They're not good things. Sausages and chips are rotten things, and therefore you cannot possibly sit here and say they're good things.
Have you finished, Kenneth?
Yes.
Good. To a child of tender years, sausage and chips are delicious. And Sheila has 2 seconds to continue. My favourite aunt, starting now.
Followed by ice cream sundae that you had to stand on the chair to reach.
I've just received a message that our 30 minutes is up. So I must now wind the show up. Before I do it, let me tell you that William Rushton, coming to play the game for the first time, contributed a great deal. Kenneth was only 3 points ahead of him. Peter Jones was only 6 points ahead of him. But way out in the lead was this week's winner, Sheila Hancock. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and want to tune in again the same time next week when once again we take the air and we try and play the game of Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd. Thank you.